Ryan Raddatz. I have a question. Does Briarwood show up on your plans as to where it intersects your property? It would be the first one where you can come up into the subdivision off of 92nd.
Chances are the DOT has also mentioned that Briarwood would be run out towards Highway 100, considering this is a giant wetlands right here. That might be the possible area where they would run out Briarwood out to Highway 100 in the future.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Raddatz. Yes, ma'am, please. Your name and address. Uh-oh, you broke it.
Okay.
Good catch.
You can just hold it. My name's Liz Ford, and I'm a disability advocate with Disability Rights Wisconsin. DRW is designated by the governor as the protection and advocacy agency for folks with disabilities. One of the roles I play at the PNA is to serve on the closing committees when a facility over a certain number of residents is closing. I'm currently serving on that position at Rehab Central out at BHD. We've been working on the relocation for a year and a half, which indicates how much thought and planning we're putting into this. Hoping I can offer some assurance to folks that this is not a quick process. We are going slowly. The relocation team is made up of people from several different state agencies, nonprofit advocates, the family care MCOs, and the County Behavioral Health Division. So a lot of thought and scrutiny. When providers are recommended to our relocation team, they go through a lot of scrutiny. We're not letting anyone out the door. We're not approving any plans unless it's going to be a safe plan for the resident and the community, that every service that person needs to remain safe and stable in the community is in place, and that the providers chosen are folks with a demonstrated track record, people who have expertise and a good track record serving individuals with mental illness. And in this case, folks are right. The primary diagnosis for these five individuals is mental illness. Some have diabetes or COPD or difficulty ambulating, but their main diagnosis is mental illness. They're all stable, they have been stable, or they would not be being discharged to the community. If they required institutionalization or a nursing home, that would be the recommendation from the relocation team. So I hope you'll consider moving this project forward. They can make these residents can make great neighbors given the opportunity, and I think a lot of planning is going into this. But Matt Talbot, one of the positives that we looked at when, you know, we're approving the Matt Talbot plan is that it's a very high level of staffing for five people. You don't see that level of staffing in too many five-bed group homes. And as I said, they have a lot of experience and a proven track record.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hi. Hi, good evening. My name is Martina Golden Graves, and I'm the president and CEO of Mental Health America of Wisconsin. I'm not a resident. I'm an advocate for individuals and families living with mental illness in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm here tonight in support of this housing facility in your city. I go to quite a few hearings like this, and I advocate on behalf of individuals. I'm usually advocating that the housing facility not be in a low-income, poor neighborhood. And so I'm delighted to hear that it's going to be on a beautiful land that is so recovery-oriented, which is what people who live with mental illness deserve. I want to also say that affordable housing is a right, it's not a privilege, and that 1 out of 4 people in this country live with mental illness. So this is not a conversation about them. It's truly an issue that impacts all of us. Many of us in this room either live with a mental illness ourselves or know someone who does. So this means people we work with, people we go to church with, and in many cases, live next door, but we don't even realize it. One of the reasons access to housing continues to be a barrier is the stigma associated with mental illnesses, which prevents treatment and impedes recovery. It is fundamental to discrimination in housing. This comes up all the time for people who are seeking housing and live with a mental illness. It's a discrimination in housing, employment, health care, and insurance reimbursement. I just want to close by saying that there has been research over the last few years that is looking at stigma. And so Patrick Corrigan, who's out of the Illinois Technical Institute, has done some remarkable research that talks about the way to decrease stigma is to get to know people and to get to know their story. And, of course, I'm, you know, summing this up in a nutshell. But this is an opportunity for Franklin to do something that no other suburban community is doing, to be a role model and set an example that gives you the opportunity to let others in our community, in our county, in our state, see what it can look like and can be a factor in decreasing stigma. So I just want to thank you for allowing this opportunity for public input. I think it's rich. I think it needs to happen. That's how healing happens. But also when people are put in a community and are offered the opportunity to live in the community and have experiences just like you and I, that's where real recovery happens. And I think folks will be delighted and surprised by what can happen with this project. So thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Mr. Green.
Casper Green, 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue. I don't live even in the neighborhood of where this facility will go if it is built, but I heard something that got me upset a little while ago, and I waited around for 2 hours just to say this. The gentleman from the county, you said you work for the county.
Correct.
What is your name? I didn't catch it.
Jim Manthey.
You mentioned something about, and I'm going to quote, I think I got you exactly, CDBG funds could very well be suspended if this doesn't go through. I think that's a quote of what you said. Now, I know that the city of Franklin for several years has been receiving somewhere between $55,000 and $60,000 for the projects that have been very beneficial to this city. Now, I am not an official of the city, so you understand that. But I think that's pretty heavy-handed of you to say something like that, that those funds would depend on what we do in this project. I don't think it's fair for you to say that, and I think you ought to remove that from the table.
Mr. Matthew?
Sure. Yeah, I can respond to that. So these are not Milwaukee County rules. We are the recipient from HUD of the federal government for these funds. And we're held to the standard about fair housing. So Franklin, just like any other suburb, is a sub-grantee of ours. We're held to the standard. So Milwaukee County could theoretically be liable under the fair housing law for discrimination for people with disabilities. So we are very concerned about this project. So Milwaukee County theoretically is at risk, just like the city of Franklin. So we're taking this extremely seriously.
How many other cities in the county of Milwaukee are having a facility like this? And I'm not damning the facility at all, because I happen to work with senior citizens. I've done it for years, and I've worked with people with mental illnesses and so forth, not very much, but enough to know what's happening. How many other communities in the city and the county of Milwaukee are going to have one of these facilities built in that community?
Supportive housing generally is in a couple of other suburban.
Yeah, the supportive housing we've done is now in Brown Deer, hopefully in Franklin, West Dallas. We plan on having this issue come across every municipality, so everybody's doing their fair share for housing.
Dave Wozniacki, 9331 South 92nd Street. I came to all these meetings, and the most thing you worry about so much is trees. Why don't you start worrying about people?
Thank you, Ms. Wozniacki.
Donna McCall, 7136 South 49th Street. It's hard for me to say this in here, but has anybody in this place been in the Milwaukee Mental Health Complex? Because I have. And yous are saying you're going to have a couple people on staff at night when they're sleeping? What makes you think they're going to be sleeping? Because they're not. I felt normal when they sent me there, watching these people twitching around and jumping and fighting and stuff. And they're going to sleep at night? Really? I don't think so. What are you going to do, sedate them? Because that's what you're going to have to do. And when you sedate them, they're going to fight with you. And then what are you going to do? Break their arms, break their legs? You're going to end up hurting them because they don't know what they're doing. I have COPD. When I lose oxygen, I don't know what I'm doing. They've came to my house plenty of times, and I ended up at the psych ward because I couldn't breathe and I had no oxygen. So you tell me they're going to sleep. And then you're talking about putting all this water in? How come I can't get no city water by my house? I live on 49th Street. So why can't I get city water? I got to have well water waiting for the quarry to cave it in on me. I just think you should address that, though, because two people on staff at night, good luck.
Okay, Mr. Salmon, this is about, what, three or four? Let's come to an end if we can.
I'd just like a show of hands of anyone that has a problem with anyone with mental illness. Anyone else? Any neighbors?
Has a problem with that?
Joel, it's not.
They're trying to frame us like we're incoherent and insensible. No one has a problem. All I want to be told is the truth. And
in all honesty, Joel, I didn't hear that from these folks. Let's not embarrass anybody. Let's just let it clear.
I'm just asking. We can throw under the bus. All I'm saying is we don't have a problem. Just make sure you're telling us the truth. And like I told you in the last meeting, we'd be more than supportive. Just we want to make sure we're all on the same level.
That's fair.
So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stanford. Anyone else?
And then you the young lady typing back there like last time.
Name and address, Mr. Ryan, please.
Mr. Olson, it's 5250 West South County Line. I could use my address as I work, as two of the gentlemen up here did, but I'm proud to say I live in Franklin. Is it all right if I approach the table? First of all, I don't think anybody has any problems, and I think our community would welcome disabled individuals. with physical or mental. That's not the issue. What I find is the misrepresentation. Now, first of all, that parking lot, if everybody looks, is larger than your home. The city of Franklin, for being in residential, I don't know of one family residential that has a parking lot in their front yard, backyard, or anything. Second of all, city of Franklin only has 1 8-bedroom home, and it does not have a parking lot. Now, you're asking to come into a community, you want to abide by our rules, and you want the city to treat you fairly. Why are you putting a parking lot in front of a facility that has 16 parking stalls? I read that you had 2 per bedroom. I don't know anywhere in our ordinance, our state ordinance, that regulates parking spaces based on the number of bedrooms you have. Commercial regulates based on the number of people you have. Second of all, if you're calling for 16 parking spots, but yet you're only representing 5 bedrooms at this time, why then are you representing 16? Shouldn't it be 10? And you just represented that these people don't get visitors. They don't get family in that. So again, why? Now, you didn't deal with any lighting or anything like that. So you're telling us that you want to come to Franklin. You're saying that this is a great environment for people that have disabilities. But yet, you want to get them, as the individual said at the last meeting, out of this institutionalized environment. By putting some parking lot in front of a residential home, how does that get them away from an institutionalized environment? Second of all, you're setting a precedence. Because now if my neighbor knows that you are able to put a parking lot in front of your home, why can't he? Why can't the other people? We have restrictions on whether or not you can put trailers, whether or not you can put motorhomes, whether or not you can put cars parked on grassy areas in front of homes. You're basically throwing that all away, and you're telling, not asking, you're telling the city of Franklin that if they don't go along with this, you're going to sue them. And then you have a gentleman from the county saying, oh, by the way, we're going to take your money. Well, first of all, I'm appalled that people from outside this community, like this young lady, comes in here and thinks that we don't have any of these homes you're talking about. We have these homes in this city. They're scattered throughout this city. But you know the key? People cannot identify them because they blend in with the community. They blend in with the court order is. They're not an eyesore. They don't have people that can point to them. But now you're coming in here with a brand new facility wanting to put a commercial, quote-unquote, parking lot in front. That's not atypical. I keep hearing the word, abide by the rules. You think you're being mistreated, but it's been pointed out to you that any resident, and many of these Franklin residents, who've had to pay to run water to the end of their property line, as a policy, have done that. And they're still paying. You got a break there. But yet you want to say that Franklin's a bad place. You want to say Franklin treats you poorly. Franklin gives you no breaks. You received a break already. Second of all, I don't understand, if you want to be good, the examples with these individuals, moving them into a basement with the additional 3. I find that appalling. And I would hope that individuals like this would stick up for them. If I have a family member that can be on the first floor, that has a bedroom with a window, that has a living room with a window, and they can look out, that's a better environment than the person living in the basement. And yes, I know all about what you're talking about. What it is it's a cutout, and there's a ladder there, and you climb up to the first level, and then you climb out of there. That's what I call a hole. That's not an environment. That's not looking into the natural beauty that you're coming to this city to look at. It's looking and housing 3 people down in a basement. As someone pointed out, I don't even send my dog in the basement when he does something wrong. And now you're going to put an individual down there with 3 other, and then you show a gathering room and things like that. That's not the same environment as the person has upstairs. So how do you distinguish between the 5 that have bedrooms upstairs versus the three that you're going to put down in the hole. Now, I know about HUD, and I'm offended by your comments because, again, you don't represent that this community has homes, and we've been paying. And the money that has come from the federal government, we've put into good, productive programs. And I can say I don't get along with Mr. Casper Green, but on this one, I do. I think you need to apologize to this city and to the residents here, because when you come into a city and you threaten us without your facts, it hurts me. And second of all, you're the one, and when I say your department was the one that got their hands slapped by the federal government for not administering that money appropriately. But to come in Franklin and say we're the cause, to come into Franklin and say this home, this is a brand new facility. You're taking the county's problems and you're dumping them on this community. You're saying we are under court order that we have to take these people out of an institutionalized environment and put them in a community. Then you're done and your hands are washed. I find it, how do you deal with the three people in the basement? That's not an environment. I wouldn't want somebody there. And I would hope that some of these people that stood up and represented that they want people like that, that they understand that that's not. You talk about handicap. I don't see an elevator on there. How does a person with a disability get from the basement level to the first floor? Stairs? But they're disabled. But yet we don't know what disabilities they have. But yet this city hall took some of that block money that you're talking about, and we used it to build an elevator so that people could get from the first floor to the second floor that had disabilities. I don't see any of that here. So when you go on with this length and you beat up on these residents and you try to tell them that they're picking on you, let's stay focused on it. Again, you know how many, just for the record? There's only three homes in the city of Franklin that have seven-bedroom homes. There's 37 homes that have six bedrooms. There's a total of 11,125 homes in the city of residence. Now, I was never good in math. I was fair. But I think we're talking 0.0000 when it comes to year one home that has eight bedrooms that you're trying to blend into 11,125. And then say that you're not setting a precedent, that you're not asking our members of this common council to protect this city, because I don't want my neighbor parking his car on his front lawn because you've opened up a door. I want this council to deal with those concerns, and I want them to treat you fairly, but I don't want them to open up doors that's going to cause havoc in this city so you can get your way and that you can bully it. I think these people are responsible, they have an obligation, and they have responsibilities to make sure that our codes stay enforced. You have an obligation to protect, and I stand 100% behind you, to make sure that these people get in an environment that will help them. They already have a strike or two against them in this world. They don't need additional. But stop treating the city with negative articles that make us look like we don't care and we don't have it. You're not the first home that's come to this city. You're not going to be the last home. But we're saying play by the rules. Don't change our community. Don't start setting precedents in areas, and especially don't bring people in and stick them in a basement and tell them you're trying to do good for them. You put them in an environment that's institutional that you're trying to get them away from. And I think, and oh, I will add this. The mayor and I have a thing with titles. I used to be called an alderman. I remember when you brought homes into this community. You got your homes. We had and we worked with you. You never had to threaten us. You never had to, you know, worry about anything. And we always said, play by the rules. That's why they're there. We have a community. We have a reputation. But don't drag the names down and make people feel like they're irresponsible and they don't care and that they're vindictive against handicapped individuals. Thank you.
Else?
Yeah, I guess on the parking issue, we've addressed it at the public meeting. We addressed that at Planning Commission. We've talked about it again here today. There's a one-to-one staffing during the day for this facility, so it's being approved for up to eight beds. So one-to-one staffing is 16 people. that accounts for shift changes. So when you go from second shift or first shift to second shift, we want to make sure we have ample parking. I'm assuming you would rather us have enough parking than having us trying to park on the road or not have enough parking. You're not going to be able to see most of it from the road, so it was addressed by planning and planning commission. You are probably correct that the planning department would probably not allow a single family home to have a parking lot in their front yard, but this is a different use. So,
can I do that? As I pointed out to you, this isn't the first rodeo that the city of Franklin's attended. We have homes just like this. And guess what? We don't have parking lots in front of them. So what makes you different?
They probably don't have staffing levels like this.
And how many people do they have in their homes?
I don't. What home are you specifically?
Any one of them, many homes.
If I could, I have represented a home a number of years ago. I guess you were an older person then.
Which one was that?
Well, we had to fight about it because I believe Franklin was asserting the 2,500-foot rule. So we did have some pretty heavy-duty public hearings, is what I remember. Now,
are you talking about the one on 46th and Ryan?
I don't recall.
I want to answer his question first of all. I'm sorry.
Ask a question, get an answer, ask.
But I didn't get an answer. All I was doing was responding to his. Okay. What I'm politely trying to tell you, sir, we have homes in this community that are similar.
And I'm ready to respond to that if I could.
Okay. Well, let's.
Well, I'm responding to him. Okay, go ahead and you can respond.
First of all, you don't have a home like this because there haven't been homes like this. The homes that you do have are mostly for people with developmental disabilities, or they're for people, elderly, Alzheimer's, like that. Okay? There just isn't one like this for this population, and I gather that's part of the issue. It has to be a brand new facility because the county specified so many additional features that it wasn't possible to buy an existing home and retrofit it. And whether or not there are going to be three people living in the basement, they would have to be either ambulatory, in which case they could be down some steps, or, again, they'll have to put an elevator in someday. That's going to be the issue. And then I guess I want to respond to I know a lot about HUD obligations, the county's obligation. The HUD is the one who makes these rules. HUD audits the county to make sure that all of its subgrantees are following the rules, and that is the problem.
Okay, let me respond, which you haven't answered any of my questions. And just so you're aware, I deal with HUD too. I have units that also come under the HUD program and funding and that, so I'm familiar with it. You haven't answered my question. The point that I'm trying to make to you, as clear as I can, we already have homes in this city, and when you say they're not like this, we have homes that are, and I'm not looking at, because as you keep pointing out, this is broad, we don't know. But I think we would agree that some of these other homes we have people that have mental disabilities and
have physical disabilities, not mental illness.
Well,
when primary,
I asked him to ask.
Thank you for reminding me.
I guess I disagree. I remember one time getting a call because there was a guy running up the street nude. I don't think that's, you know, appropriate behavior, and we were told he had a mental disability. So staying along with your lines, and that's what some of these people have said, you want to use generic when someone asks you a question, but then all of a sudden when I'm talking generic, you want to get into specifics. So I can go specifics or generic, but just tell me what set of rules we're playing. So I'm going to stay with generic. We already have facilities in this city that house people that have mental disabilities, people that have physical disabilities, similar to what you're representing. And some of those homes have up to 4 bedrooms. And guess what? They don't have parking lots in front of them. You can drive by and you can't see. You're adding one more bedroom, and yet, according to that, you'd want 10 additional parking spots outside. But yet again, this is my hang-up. You say you want 16, but you're only asking for 5 bedrooms, and justifying how you get to 16 is based on 8 bedrooms. I can't understand that. So what I'm trying to say is you keep trying to say, we don't have that. We do. You're building a brand new facility. The courts have taken into consideration that you would go out and you would retrofit a building, making an existing building. But guess what? There's ordinances that say you can't add on, you got to get variances and things like that. So you're kind of restricted. You're coming in here with a brand new facility that you want to make, and the courts tell you that it can't interfere with the community, it can't disturb the community, and it can't have an impact. Putting a parking lot in front of a residential home has an impact on a community. It also sets precedents for other people to come along and do it. Now, we may not have a code that specifically deals with the number of parking spots because it's never come up, but we do have 8-family homes, and we have things like green space, which that's what you want. You keep telling me how great it is and all this environmental corridor that there is for all of these people to be able to get out and look at. When I go somewhere, I don't want to look at an asphalt parking lot, but yet that's what they're going to be looking at. So what I'm saying is we already have that. If we have facilities that have the same staffing that you're requiring for your people, and they're already here, and they don't have commercial parking lots, because in the past we had to deal with issues like that, we had to deal with their staff meeting, and in one particular home, they had to do busing into an area. So they didn't disturb the residential character of it. You're asking to disturb the character of a home, and yet you keep saying, treat me as the same. This is only residential. It's not.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan.
Donna McCall. I have physical and mental conditions, and what you are saying about this parking lot, it's pretty sad, because when all this stuff happened to me when I had a stroke, it's pretty bad when I had my tire parked on my grass at my house, and this is more than once, and all I do is get took to court for it over my tire of my car being on my grass. It's my grass. Just like yous are saying, this is your land. Well, this is my land, and I should be able to park my car on my grass if I want to.
Let's have new comments and see if we can wrap this up. Ms. Benning.
Do you need my address again?
No. Just say your name, though.
Angie Benning.
Thank you.
Again, you guys want to be good neighbors, but you just lied to us again. Because at the meeting you had with us that we recorded, you told us all that all these people in this home will not be driving. They do not have cars. They have no transportation. And now you just stated to us that the 16 parking spaces were for staff and the people in the home. So one-to-one staffing, if there's five bedrooms, is five cars. If there's eight okay. bedrooms, that's eight cars.
So the facility is having five residents from Milwaukee County that have a contract with Matt Talbot Recovery Services. We're building into an eight-bedroom facility. There will only be five people there right away. So when there is eight in the future, if there is eight in the future, you have eight staff members during the day. Between first and second shift, not all eight people leave, and there's no one in the facility, that eight people come to the facility afterwards. We have to account for shift changes. You have to account for other people being at the facility. So we've talked about this with staff. We've talked about it at Planning Commission, that 16 parking stalls fits for this facility. So we never just a few minutes ago said they were for the people here. They will have transportation available to them provided by Matt Talbot, but they aren't going to have their own vehicles there at the site.
None of the current five people who are projected to come there even have driver's licenses, so they aren't going to be driving.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I just wanted to repeat what somebody else has said, is that we have a home in my neighborhood on Coventry Drive, and I don't even know it's there except when they first started. They left all their garbage out front, but I think that's been cleared up. But another issue is the lawyer is telling us this is a residential building. Why are they building a big basement? Why are they putting all these windows in there? Why are they having sprinklers? That is all conducive to a business place. So you can't call that a resident. There's double talking here. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Village, 9205 South 94th Street. Now, obviously, this thing's zoned what, R3 or 3R, or whatever the devil it is. What's to stop them from expanding, getting this to get rezoned and make it bigger? What's to stop them from, okay, we're not going to have a basketball court, but let's put it in an expansive parking lot, okay? Obviously, this thing's big enough now to expand to, I mean, I'm not buying a 16-spot parking lot. I'm not buying that the basketball court's not going to be there. And I don't buy the fact that in 2 or 3 years, we're going to try to get this rezoned to something else to expand this to more than 5 or 8 patients or whatever it is. I don't think anybody here is buying that either.
Well, I can say clearly that the permitted use only goes up to 8 in an R3. So if we ever came back, we would be asking you as a favor to allow us to expand, and I can guarantee you we're not going to be doing that. The reason we went ahead with this project was because it is a permitted use there.
Well, you got the trust going so far. Who's paying for this water? Is Milwaukee County paying for it? I mean, are the taxpayers ultimately paying for it? I heard it was $200,000 to drag this thing down the highway. And Matt Talbot, and you're getting that money from where? So that's solely on you. That won't come back on us whatsoever for this water thing. All right. I believe that's all I got. All right, thank you very much.
All right.
Brian Raddatz. Is there going to be a company van that's going to be out in the parking lot for transportation for these people if they need to go anywhere?
Yes.
So that's going to be on site 24/7, 365?
Yeah, we'll have a seven or eight passenger van.
Okay.
Anyone else? Is there a motion to return to a normal course of the order of business?
So moved.
Second. All those in favor of the motion to return to normal business, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Nope, sorry. In the preamble to this, I did announce the closed session. All right. Is there a motion to enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes 19.8.85 sub 1 sub G to confer with legal counsel for the Common Council and City Defense Council who are rendering advice concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to potential litigation with regard to Matt Talbot Recovery Services, Inc. development and to re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters as discussed therein as it deems appropriate?
So move.
Second.
Discussion? Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Alderman Dambia?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Aye.
We are in closed session. Folks, please take your take all your coats and cellular equipment and everything. Thank you.
Mayor, I have opened the hearing room, which is the meeting room right next to the fish tank. If people want extra tables and chairs to sit at, they're welcome to use that room.
Let's take 5 minutes and then we'll be in closed session. It is 10:45. We're back in open session. I appreciate the patience of all of those of you in the audience. This is a serious matter and it needs all due consideration. Mr. City Attorney, is there a motion to direct staff to set a special meetings, plural, for the Board of Water Commissioners, the Common Council, and the Plan Commission for the evening of Thursday, May 14th on this matter?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion of that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Vote is 6-0. Is there a motion to direct staff to work on the particular applications in this matter in the ordinary course of their business?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. We'll go back. We're going to try to move through the agenda, but we do have a responsibility to you to hear your comments during the citizen comment period. All that we ask is, we've already heard Matt Talbot, can we hear someone else? Anyone have, I'm going to open a citizen comment period. Yes, sir, name and address, please.
Good evening, I'll keep it short. Jim Ginther, a resident of Franklin, 9037 South Cordgrass Circle West, member of Victory of the Lamb Lutheran Church, and also on the building committee for the ministry center that we have. Just want to simply put, we're happy that on the agenda tonight you did include a decision regarding reimbursements for expenses that we incurred with the development of Kayla's playground. We were going to donate, as you know, the part of our land to the city up until the decision was made to move Kayla's ground to a separate location. And we're confident with the supporting documents from the architects as well as the engineers, which you have included in your packet this evening, and with further knowledge that you may be aware of, that the reimbursement amount does not include the costs that we bore for soil borings or pre-construction work that was performed by our general contractor for Kayla's playground. The reimbursement will be approved as fair and equitable for the work that was done. And as always, we wish Kayla's crew all the best in the location that they're going to be locating at, and we're looking forward to finishing our ministry center at about the same time that theirs is going to be completed, and look forward to a long and productive and fruitful relationship with the city of Franklin. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You. Anyone else wishing to speak? Pastor Ben? Mr. Lewandowski?
I understand it's $35,000 that they're trying to collect from the city. Is that correct?
They're not trying to collect it. It's the right thing for us to do.
It's what?
It's the right thing for us, the city, to do.
Do we have a contract with them?
No.
I can't see why we have to pay for it. As a citizen of my taxes, you know. I also want to ask questions about that Kayla playground status, in that some time ago the engineer was going into a phase of telling us that it was going to cost over $2 million. And I've got some paperwork showing that. And when Mark got up there, we have an item now that's only $1 million and something. So I guess I can't quite understand it. And that park, basically, to me, is a regional park. And if it's a regional park, I don't know why we should even get involved in it. I mean, the taxpayers shouldn't pay for a regional park. It should pay for parks that are meant for just the city here. But and I want to go back to that biennial. And I guess I don't know what the answer was to that, but I don't see anything in regards to that, but my dictionary has never changed because I keep it closed and I use the computer, and the computer always tells me that it's twice a year. And I think that we have a lot of issues with PDD 23, and we also are trying to change this PDD for the Oscar ice cream parlor, if you want to call it. And I don't quite understand why we're changing the PDDs just for one business place, and then all the rest of them want to change their signs. I think we keep doing this thing, and it's really ridiculous. We need some leadership in this city that will keep us straight and on the narrow path. We should, instead of the planning department seeing all this stuff first, the common council should see it first, then pass it on down, and then pass it to the engineer. But this is ridiculous. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lewandowski. Anyone else? Ms. Runke.